And now, Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, illumine the sacred page, we pray, that our minds may be open to receive your word, our hearts taught to love it, and our wills strengthened to obey it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read this morning from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. These are found in the Pew Bible on page 104 and 845. From the Word of God, Numbers chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them." And from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This message this morning is the fifth and the last in the series that I've been sharing with you about the elements of worship. And it is fitting at this moment in the series we come to the benediction, God's blessing on his children. Grandmother had come for a visit. And like grandmas do, she was recounting stories and telling tales and embarrassing kids and grandkids with all the stories that she was telling from the past. And she was including in her tales this day how she had trained her daughter to be a great housekeeper. And she said the secret was in those nooks and crannies, in those often overlooked places that seldom got a dust mop or a rag or a broom, she'd hide coins, and sometimes even a dollar bill. And soon she became an excellent housekeeper as she swept and looked for those treasures. And after Grandma had finished the story about how she trained her daughter, her granddaughter looked at her mom and said, "Mom, why didn't you ever do that for me when I was learning to keep house?" And her mother shook her head and said, "I did, honey. I did." Now, this story poses a question for us about our worship of God. Could we be overlooking some rewarding aspects of worship, hidden as it were in the nooks and crannies of our worship service? Could we be missing out on some blessings because we're not looking closely enough to see them? Take a look at your order of service for a moment. And in looking it over, it may be obvious that we can receive a blessing in the singing of songs of praise. We can perceive the blessing of the Lord as we come and put our tithe and offerings into the offering plate, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. And the times of prayer are important. And we would forfeit peace and comfort and repentance and reconciliation if we overlook those times in the worship service. But are there blessings for us that are not so obvious, not so apparent, in the things that are in place from week to week that we've come to take for granted in our worship of God? For example, as you come and go from worship each week, what place does the benediction hold for you? How important is the benediction in our worship service? in our worship experience. First of all, a couple of words about what benediction is not. It's not simply a religious way of saying, this meeting is adjourned, go home. Rather, as Andrew Blackwood, a pastor and theologian of the last century, said, the benediction is an act of God in which He bestows His grace upon those who are ready to receive it. In number 6, God directs Moses to tell Aaron and Aaron's sons to pronounce a blessing on Israel. And God says at the end of that passage, when you do that, I will be in those blessings for my people. And in pronouncing the blessing of benediction, the pastor serves not only as a witness and a herald of God's favor, the benediction is a testimony of God's grace. We're all here gathered today, believers in Jesus Christ. But I confess to you that there are times in worship when I have doubts. And if in your worship you ever doubt that God hears your prayer of repentance and confession and doubt whether God has forgiven you, if in your worship experience you wonder if God loves and can love such a one as you, if in your worship service you have found difficulty hearing the Lord speak to you in the other parts of the service, and if you need to know whether God notices you or even cares about you and your concerns and the things and the people that are on your heart, then the benediction must not escape your attention. For here in these words commanded by God is clear evidence of how God sees you in relationship to Himself and to Jesus Christ. You are blessed. In Christ, you are the ones upon whom God's favor rests. The word blessed, benediction, has at its roots the meaning to speak well of. The benediction is God's blessing on those who hear it. There's deep power in a blessing. Who uttered the first word of blessing? Of course, it was God who generated the first blessing. God's blessing precedes any commandments or expectation of us. Before there was a commandment, there was a blessing. And we're only 27 verses into the Word of God when God pronounces a blessing, a benediction on His people. Only 2, but a blessing that comes to us as well. So God created humankind in His image, Genesis 1, 27 and 28. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them. Then God gave them a benediction. Ultimately, blessing comes from God alone. And one of the reasons we may have missed the blessing is because we sometimes think that the benediction is a prayer. And technically, it is not a prayer. And many folks, when the benediction is given, receive it with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. This morning at the end of the service, after communion, I invite you to receive the benediction, if you don't already do this, with your head up and your eyes open, because the benediction is not asking for God's favor and blessing. It's not a last-ditch effort before we leave worship to get God's attention. Instead, it is God declaring, you are my children in Jesus Christ. I bless you. And I'll keep you. And I'll make my face shine upon you. And I'll be gracious to you. And I'll turn my face to you and give you peace. The fact that it's a declaration and not a prayer is shown in the way the pastor positions his hands. In prayer, I sometimes lift my hands up like this with my palms up so that I'm taking your needs and presenting them to God. But in the benediction, my hands are always palm down, so I'm giving you God's blessing, God's benediction. One time in the service where palms are turned down, and that's in the benediction, symbolizing God's blessing descending upon His people. In Luke's Gospel, the last thing Jesus did before leaving His disciples and going up into heaven was to lead His disciples out of the city, out to a quiet place, away from the crowds, and there He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Luke 24:50. So today the declaration of God's blessing is given to those who are in Jesus Christ. His blessing is not declared to the world at large, but only to you who have named Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your life is entrusted to Him. He's redeemed you. God has redeemed you through His Son, Jesus Christ. In a real sense, then, the benediction is a climax, the high point of the worship service. As Christians, we've come to worship God, to confess and repent of our wrongdoing, to reaffirm our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to worship Him. And God responds with the proclamation, the sincere declaration that His favor rests on us. It's quite appropriate then that the benediction comes at the close of the worship service. For in our interaction with God in worship, God has the last word. And it is one not of condemnation, but of grace and mercy and peace. And the benediction also becomes a prelude to our next worship service. Now, I know you've all gone to somebody's house here in the South, and as you're leaving, that person, an aunt, a neighbor, will be standing on the front porch and say, "Y'all come back anytime." Or my favorite, "Y'all come back now, here." That's what the benediction is. It's an invitation to come back and once more be in worship of God. Benediction is our invitation to return again to this place. Therefore, having been assured of God's benevolent attitude toward us, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need." How many secrets, how many burdens do we carry with us through life because we wonder if God hears us, if God would receive us favorably? Yet week by week, God's blessing, God's favorable opinion of you is pronounced every week in the benediction. The final action in worship is God's, in which He says, "You are my beloved people, and through my Son Jesus, my face is always turned towards you to bless you and protect you." That's the meaning of the benediction, God's blessing on His beloved people. There was an old country doctor who found that his practice frequently did not enable him to attend the entire worship service. He'd be called out for some emergency and would only at times be able to slip in the back door of the church, just get there in time for the benediction. And a member of the congregation who had observed this happening time and time again went to the doctor one Sunday morning and said, "Doc, why do you bother to come when you know the service is nearly over anyway?" And the doctor replied, "Because I don't want to miss receiving God's blessing for me in the benediction." The benediction is God's blessing of His people. It is God's act of blessing to those who are ready to receive it by faith. It is the Lord who always has the last word. And it is a word, a message of blessing and favor to those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen.